Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. Are you in a blended family? That can be tough. You know, I just said to the staff in a teaching about blended families that the problem with the blended family is that the person joining the new family is joining a family that's already in Act 2 or 3. And they didn't have the benefit of helping write the script or live out Act 1, all the traditions and relationships and ways of doing things and expectations. And it ain't as easy as you may think. In fact, that's the question. What one thing have you learned about blending family that you'd pass on to someone coming up behind you? Are you ready? This is Intentional Living. Let's go.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a conference speaker and coach and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open, so call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and we're just hot off of a teaching on this topic. I just, in fact, walked over 30 minutes ago from an hour-long session with our team on blended families, which, by the way, was recorded, will be used. It's our very special gift to all of our members of Intentional Living, and you'll be receiving that in, what did we determine, July. It'll be in the package going to members in July. And so, but that opening statement is something that I just shared with the staff, that when a person joins a new family, goes into a blended relationship, you're already in Act 2 or 3. Act 1 has already been played out. And during Act 1, traditions are set, relationships are set, ways of doing things are set, expectations are set. And while first marriage really requires adults who are ready to serve in second marriages, it requires really, really super mature adults who are willing to sacrifice for each other. And what happens is each member of a blended family has to get through the hurt and loss before they can ever get to the like and love. And in my experience, of course, I work with people who are struggling in life. I find a lot of people who have been in the cul-de-sac going in circles with hurt and loss, and they're not on the path to like and love. They can't get there. They can't get past hurt and loss. It's constantly in front of them. I'd ask you, if you are in a blended family, what one thing have you learned, one thing you've discovered that maybe you didn't know, or you want to reinforce to those who are coming along behind you? You know, the questions that we hear about, we don't agree on discipline, my ex-spouse confuses our kids when he or she has them for the weekend and they send them back, or my spouse is jealous about my relationships that I had prior to marriage, family, and so on. Favoritism, his kids, her kids, we're not treating them fairly. These are the kind of questions that we hear. The research on blended families is pretty interesting. Back in 1960, only about 13% of all married adults were remarried or had gone into a blended family, back then called step families. By 2014, it was 25% of a much larger number of population, right? The population had grown, so about three times as many people, 42 million adults who are married are in a remarriage or blended family. In fact, 40%, according to Pew Research, 40% of all new marriages that are happening right now are remarriages, and many of those would be blending families, of course. I saw a number, was it 1,300 a day or something? I mean, or an hour? It's an incredible number. And the challenges are real, and you have an opportunity to tell us one thing you've learned to help someone who needs to be intentional coming along behind you. What have you learned about blending a family? One piece of advice. What one piece of advice would you like to get a shout out to the whole country and to our Intentional Living family? Call me 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. I'd love to hear one thing you've learned. You can teach the class. Let's do it.
I was just calling to make a comment about the blended families. I've been in a blended family now for 16 years. If they put God first and look at your blended family as a team, in a team, everybody has their own qualities that they can bring to the team to make it better. And if everyone just gets on one page, you know, you have to meet some teammates at where they are and not to expect any more or less out of each other, but use the different personalities, the different, you know, advantages and disadvantages of each member of the team and just work to make sure that your team is successful and just to remain encouraged and to, you know, ask God to give you strength and to handle it in a godly way.
It's good. Good. Be a team. You are a team. The problem is sometimes in a blended family, you got one or two players who just got their own agenda, you know, or they refuse to play at all, or well, they're going to sabotage the team, and that's where it gets more complicated. Okay, Rodney's first up in Kansas. Welcome, Rodney, to Intentional Living Center today.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. You're in a blended family?
Yes, I'm on what I tell other folks, the smart end of that, where our youngest is now 18.
Mm. So it's easier as they start to grow up and leave home, is that what you're saying?
You know, they kind of start executing that plan at birth, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So what's one thing you've learned you want to pass along to the young ones coming up behind you that maybe are going to experience some things that you experienced?
Well, I'll tell you, as I said, when I called in earlier, it's all about communication for us. Between my wife and I, we have 8 kids. And as I mentioned, the last one is in the house. And it's communication to our Heavenly Father in prayer.
Mm.
It's communication from our Heavenly Father through His Word. And then it's communication to everybody that's in the household. You know, whatever that may be. We had a lot, and I mean a lot, of family meetings.
Good.
And it didn't matter what the subject matter was. We had a dry erase board that had about 8 subject lines on it. We would set aside a room and give them a $10 budget for snacks. We would have each of the rooms host the family meetings and then change it. You know, next family meeting is going to be held in so-and-so's room. There was one that we did where put together a PowerPoint presentation and we did it in the living room. So
now you sound like an engineer to me. What do you do for a living, Rodney?
Yeah, well, you know, praise God, I do have the title engineer behind my name, but not by going to school. It's by learning how to do it from the shop floor.
That's good. So you take a leadership to say, look, we're going to communicate. We're going to kind of move this around to different rooms of the kids. And
that's right.
What difference did that make? How did that all work for you?
Everybody felt like they had a voice. And also it was an opportunity for us as parents to have a small devotion at the beginning. And, you know, it's not only through our life testimony what's important to us, but also, you know, through the family unit, you know, what's important to us. Mm. And I'll tell you, it was anything goes. We discussed issues from care of the dog there was one family meeting where I'd taken a photograph of an empty bag of snack. I don't know if I can say the brand name, but empty bag of Doritos. I put a Titan stamp on it and it had sat on the table for 3 days. And the kids really got a kick out of that, you know, nobody threw this bag away for 3 days. But it's just various things like that. You know, we would discuss just about anything.
And you made it fun, too. I think it's a matter of, you know, we're open, we're honest, we're all humans. Can have fun. You know, it could have gone after it. Said, that bag has been sitting there for 3 days, and I'm sick of it, and I want somebody to start taking care of this house. Just bring a picture with a date stamp on it and lay it out. Sometimes having a little bit of fun, a little bit of humor, smart people, you know, catch on. That's great, Rodney. You've had a lot. That was good stuff. Appreciate your call. We're going to go to Josh in a moment. Everybody has the best intentions and goals for kids. I wonder what the rest of that is. We'll find out. We'll find out what he's thinking. What has he learned? We're talking about how to intentionally blend families, and evidenced by a busy phone line, it certainly touched a nerve. What's one thing you've learned? 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I'm listening to your program about blended families and just wanted to say that we've been at blended families for 11 years. The kids were 1, 2, and 4 when we got together. And the biggest suggestion I can make to anybody who wants to blend their family is to really dive in deep to having God free you of all the past hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you might be bringing into the marriage, because that all gets in the way before you can even blend your family together. And if you can be healed of those things first, the blending goes a lot easier. I'm happy to say that our family, although we've had many difficulties, has blended nicely, and they're now all 3 teenagers, and we work through things through conversation and in love. So thank you.
No, you're welcome, and that's so very true. As I said earlier, each member of a blended family, as I have observed and worked with blended families, each member has to get through their own hurt and loss, because there's a lot of it. You know, maybe there's been a divorce or a death, but certainly a loss, and there's been hurt. And people can't get the like and love until they get through hurt and loss, and everyone's on a different timeline, different path, and you may already be there yourself. And your kids or those that you love around you haven't gotten there yet. A lot of patience. Okay, let's go. Josh is on the line in Arizona. Josh, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Thank you, Randy.
Appreciate it. What have you learned about blending families?
You know, what I've learned is we had a lot of hurt and struggle with co-parenting, and it took me a long time to realize that even though there's a lot of hurt there, we're both doing the best we can, have the best intentions for the children.
Mm.
So it takes a lot of compromise for us to agree on things. But, you know, it came down to me changing my perspective and to lead with love to realize that we're both coming from the same place.
Yeah, and sometimes that's not easy to do.
No, definitely not.
How long you been married?
I've currently been married 3 years.
3 years. Yeah, I think because what happens is we judge our own selves by our intentions, and then we judge other people by what we view as their behavior. And if we flip that and say, hey, I'm really judging another person I believe they're coming at this with their best intentions, that really does change your heart and your attitude toward dealing with a person.
Absolutely. For sure. I 100% agree with that.
All right. Well, good for you. How many kids do you have, Josh?
4 children.
And what is your greatest challenge blending?
My greatest challenge blending? Mm-hmm. Definitely is the co-parenting. Just because, like I said, you know, with the divorce, unfortunately, there was a lot of hurt and hurt feelings about it. So it took a long time for communication to open up.
All right. So it is that right back to that co-parenting, and you're deciding to look at it as best intentions as opposed to worst intentions.
Exactly. Benefit of the doubt always, and just to lead with love and know that we're all coming from the best place, and that's the best intentions for the children.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Ronnie over in New Mexico. Land of enchantment. Randy. How are you doing today?
Doing great. It's warm and beautiful out here.
Yeah, it is. It's a great time of the season here before the hot summer shows up down here in Tucson.
Yes, sir.
It's coming. Okay, what have you learned about blending families?
Just respect for the children and for the ex-spouse, or, you know, the mother or father of the child, and remembering that the child that you've come into this relationship with is part of your new spouse and part of your life now, and just to love them unconditionally, and if you can show them that respect, I think it just makes everything a lot easier, and, you know, keeping the children at the core of the new relationship and the new family, I think, is a big part of it.
How long have you been married?
8 years.
What has been your biggest challenge?
I think coming into it, I had some knowledge from when we were younger. We were part of a blended family of some sort, and just remembering that respect is due to the child and to the spouse. But co-parenting has been I don't want to say it's been a bad challenge, but it's just something new and trying to learn what's best for everyone in the relationship.
That's a good reminder. Well, Ronnie, thank you for calling from New Mexico today.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too. God bless you. Appreciate it. Beautiful day, New Mexico. Talking about intentionally blending, how do you blend a family? What have you learned? What's one thing you've learned you pass along to others that may encourage them? We want to honor God to be intentional with a blended family. As I shared with the staff this morning, there's a passage that reminds us that when the world looks in at us, it says that they will judge us based on our love that we have one for another. And there's a motivation in a blended family that we're to have the same kind of love that he had for us, that we should have for our kids and sometimes our ex-spouses and things that could be very difficult for you all to do. But it's foundational to strong, blended families. You got to get beyond the hurt and loss and into forgiveness before you can get the like and love. And that's a goal. Blended families, that's what we're talking about from Intentional Living.
For 8 long, grueling years, I suffered from a dark depression, so much so that I begged God to let me die. I searched God's word to know who this Jesus is, and I found him. And I have surrendered to God my marriage, our children, our home, our cars, our money. Nothing's mine anymore.
People find complete freedom from sin and bondage because they choose a life in Christ. You help them make these choices as you support Intentional Living Monthly and keep us on the air. Become a member right now. Call 888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. We're talking blended families today. Lots of calls asking you one piece of advice, one thing you've learned. Let's go. Tammy's on in Arizona. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, terrific. Appreciate your call. I'm assuming you're in a blended family?
Yeah, I have 7 kids.
7 kids.
3 wow. Mine, 4 his, but 7 are all of ours.
That's a lot. You certainly have learned some things. What's one thing you've learned?
Not to get offended. Not to get offended easily. There's a lot of broken hearts and hurt people in these blended families. And if you get offended so easily, I mean, it just keeps the pain going. And if you give the mercy and grace and love that God gives us all, then you can get through anything. And a lot of people, you know, they see it through worldly eyes and they're like, you know, I can't believe, you know, you allow these people to talk this way or act this way. And I tell them, look, they're in a hurting place. I'm not looking at the person. God says it's not, I mean, tells us not to look at the flesh. We're not fighting against the flesh.
That's right.
And so I'm not looking at the flesh that is attacking me. I'm looking at a hurting person that needs grace and mercy. And if they walk away because they're broken and they're hurt and they don't feel like they're being loved, when they come back, they got open arms. It's not judgment. And that's the biggest thing I've seen. I've seen my kids, adult kids, come back, and they're like, you're still here. I said, of course, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. And a lot of it is they're looking to see if you're going to leave them.
Yeah.
You know, their other parent has left them. Some of them have left. Some are still there. But in my family, they've left. They're gone. And they're looking to see if this adult is going to walk out of their life as well. And it's like, no, I'm not. You know, I love you. So
it's good for you. Well, listen, you talk about ministry, that's huge. Let me ask you, did you have any one surprise after you got married for a while that you didn't really anticipate?
No.
You were ready.
I went with eyes wide open, and the attacks that I got, well, I take that back. The attacks I got from the kids, I was not surprised. The attacks I got from the in-laws was a very big surprise.
Oh, from your new in-laws or your
yeah, new in-laws. I mean, it was very destructive to me personally, and I literally had to just give it all to God because it made me so angry and hurt that I couldn't even handle being around anybody. I mean, even my husband, I was angry at him and just kept saying, "What can I do?"
Yeah.
He couldn't do anything. I mean, other than you don't go to your parents and talk bad against your spouse.
Mm.
That's that's one of the things I can say. But other than that, you got to give that to God and let Him deal with it, and just love Him. And your kids, your stepkids, your in-laws, they're going to bring pain that, you know, they have inside themselves, and you just got to love them and say, you know, mercy and grace. We're all hurting.
Yeah, and that's.
And I'm sorry you're in that place, but I'm going to be here. And, you know, even if you're angry at me, I'm still going to be here. So I'll see you in another week or whenever you want to get together again.
That's good. Boy, that's powerful. Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate it. Let me go to Rachel in New Mexico. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi.
Hi there. What have you learned from being a step parent?
I think what I've learned is mostly when I went into this family, it was a father, and he had been a mother and a father to his son already. And I've been doing is I've allowed him to continue. I haven't, you know, if he asks me, you know, what do you think, then that's fine. But I gave him that permission to continue being the main parent, because that, you know, I learned at a young age you don't interrupt a father and a son and their teachings.
Well, yeah, one of the principles we teach, our intentionals, is that you defer to the primary parent, which is a wise thing to do. Where it gets complicated is when you have, quote, his and hers in a blended family, and one parent has a different way of handling a 16-year-old than the other parent, and then there's the kid saying, well, that's not fair. And so coming together and having an agreement, working together and making sure that the ultimate goal is to raise all these kids and support each other, is the way to go. But you're absolutely right, deferring to the primary parent. I mentioned a moment ago about step families, and I know someone will write and say, we don't use that term. I know. You know, we look at how things have changed. I gave an illustration to the staff about blending, brought in a blender. In fact, members, you'll be receiving this whole teaching, and you'll be hearing the demonstration. And I put in there some of the ingredients that really represent what it means to blend a family. And there's a lot of knocking and pushing and noise, and the reality is, when it's all said and done, you don't really blend. You're still a person, and we bring the hurt and the issues and challenges to the marriage, and understanding that it's probably better to do that slowly than with the power and energy of a blender-type relationship. It doesn't happen that way. Okay, thank you, Rachel. Rebecca is in Michigan. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about blended families?
Well, I'm kind of on the opposite end of the story here. I'm a byproduct of a blended family, but not in a successful way, but as in a way that, you know, as I grew up and became an adult, I learned more about how to have a stronger marriage, because I saw how hard it is to be a part of a blended family.
So it was I don't want to do what I saw. I want to be different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how's that been going for you?
Really good. At the same time, sad, because there's still a lot of brokenness in my immediate family, like my sisters and my brother. And, you know, it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of praying for them, that they'll see the life that I have today with my husband and my daughter, and want that because of God's good grace from where we came from.
Well, and I think that's go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
But it takes time and patience and a lot of leaning on the Lord, for sure.
Well, I'm thrilled for you to hear that you learned. Some people, I was sharing with the staff, many of us, we go through experiences when we're kids, and then instead of learning from it and growing through it and growing to a higher level, we get dragged into that. And by choosing to say, no, that's not where I'm going, I choose by God's grace and love and forgiveness to go in a different direction, live a different life, have different values, and go in a direction that's going to be healthier for myself and my family. That's a real testament, I think, of God's transformational power. When people ask, how do you know God's real? I think you hear it in Rebecca's life. There it is. You see evidence of it. Rebecca, thank you for your call. Talking today about blended families. Prayer is a powerful opportunity to commune with the living God. And I don't mean just over dinner, praying about your food and, you know, some of the ritual things that we can do that really, you know, don't get us into that deepness of conversation with God. But times alone with Him where you're really on your face before Him and bringing to Him those things in your life that you're wrestling with, those things that you're struggling with, those things that you're joyful for, those things that you're excited about. Prayer is a beautiful opportunity to grow close in your relationship with Christ.
That's an excerpt from the Freedom Process for Growing Your Faith, which is the teaching for this month of May for all of our members. And if you're not a member, come and join us. We'd love to have you be a part of the team for a couple reasons. One is the practical level of support. It's your financial support every month that keeps the program going, covers the costs, allows this mission message to get out around the world. And I thank you for allowing us to reach young people who need to hear about Christ, maybe for the first time in a way that really resonates about their life and where they are, or for marriages that need to be strengthened. Thank you for sharing with us. And I want to say thanks to some folks who've just recently joined us in support. Brian from Amarillo, Texas, thank you for becoming a monthly member. Tina from Washington listens to Krista Ministries, KCIS. Thank you very much. Scott and Sabrina from Lubbock, Texas, for becoming a monthly member of Intentional Living. And here's Allison from Chandler from the Phoenix area, listens to 90.3. Thank you. Appreciate each of you. Why don't you come and join us today? Just your best gift every month, whatever God lays on your heart. You can sign up safe and securely, quickly, or you can talk to one of our staff and they can help you. Call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717. Press number 4, prompt, during business hours, 888-888-1717. Or you can go online anytime to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Today we've talked about blended families. One of the principles, one of the teachings, keep Christ at the center of your life and your family. That's a core for being successful. Hey, we got a couple cool programs coming up. One is, what are you looking forward to? Anything? I mean, as you look down the road, what are you looking forward to? What are the goals that you have in your life? And where are they taking you? I want you to verbalize those to us. It'll be helpful to you. And then we're going to talk about marriage communication. A couple of great topics from Intentional Living Center. I think that's about it for today. I'll see you again. We'll be back tomorrow with more Intentional Living from our Intentional Living Center. Have a great day.